Well, good evening, everyone. We have been going through one of the very famous passages in the scriptures, which influenced the whole history, and it has been translated into most of the languages, which is nothing but Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. These are the three chapters. So today we are going to close this, we are going to bring it to an end, this series. So how do we understand Sermon on the Mount? How do we realize that into our lives? How do we make it actual into our lives? How do we make it real into our lives? Because this is so challenging that we started looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Is it possible at all in our lives, in human lives, to follow this, to show this forth? So how do we realize this? Is it possible, and what are the ways? So that's the theme of this evening's message. If you look at Sermon on the Mount, I see as three parts to it. One part is chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. It is attitudes, the be attitudes. Jesus brings out the be attitudes. Blessed are those. The attitudes. And the second one is from verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13 to 48. The behaviors, beatitudes, behaviors. Always behaviors follow the attitudes. That's why having the attitudes is very important. So beatitudes, behaviors, and chapter 6 to chapter 7, verse 12, that is still last week. It's about the practices. These are the three things I look at Sermon on the Mount. Beatitudes, behaviors, and practices. So these things are very challenging. So how is it possible to put it in practice? How can we realize this? If it is a modern literature, Sermon on the Mount would have been reversed. First, the verses from 7th chapter 13 to 29th would have been there, and then followed by the Beatitudes. Because we are so structured people, we want to go structured point by point. But we see here in the Middle Eastern way of putting across, Jesus being the best storyteller, he brings out the beatitudes first. He shoots the bird first and then explains it. That's how. But 21st century, we are more accustomed to the systematic way of going through. So when we see the beatitudes, how is it possible those beatitudes can come into my life? How the behaviors we can show forth, and how can we do those practices? Practice of prayer, practice of giving out. How can we do that? Think about so many times we read about this Sermon on the Mount. So you may say, hey, we know this verses for several years. What is that new thing that we can learn? So many times we talk about prayer, we talk about giving alms, but in practice, why is it so difficult? You know, one of the verses from this, it was so much influential in the life of Gandhi, the one who brought freedom to India. So the verse, chapter 5, it says, if you hit one cheek, show the other cheek. He completely took that verse literal. When the British people came, he took that verse and he came out with that verse. He was so much influenced by Jesus' teachings. So how can we realize that in our lives? How can we make it real? First thing is Beatitudes. We divided Beatitudes, behaviors, and practices. These three, how can it land into our lives? How it can land into our family lives, into the assembly life? So let's turn to today's portion, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. So 13 and 14, this is the real crux of the matter here. If you want to get those attitudes, it's not possible by our strength. And we see here, Jesus unlocking the mystery here. Look at these verses, 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find that. This is the first prerequisite to really get those attitudes. Prerequisite here, we see, enter through that narrow gate. Without entering through the narrow gate, you cannot get into the Beatitudes. Think about the first Beatitude. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The blessedness doesn't come by being poor or poor in the spirit. It comes because of Jesus Christ. Because we entered through the narrow gate and we considered that state of being poor is blessed. Did you see the difference? There is nothing spiritual about being poor in the spirit or being poor. But since God is in the picture, since we enter through the narrow gate, these things become blessed to us. It's a very hair split difference. Very carefully we need to understand this. So many times there is an unmentioned way of making being poor as a virtue. But here we see, blessed are the poor in spirit because of this criteria, entering through the narrow gate. If Jesus is not there in the picture, if God is not there in this picture, all these attitudes, they become a secular teaching. And we see here, enter through the narrow gate, and comparing and contrasting, narrow gate versus wide gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are two things here. It talks about gate and the way. Both are there. Many times we only talk about narrow gate or narrow way. Both. It's a narrow gate as well as narrow way. In contrast to that, there is a wide gate and the broad way. So many times, being believers, many of us, we like to enter that narrow gate, but we want the way to be broad. You got the difference? We want to enter into that narrow gate, we enter, but the way, we keep it broad. Think about the items, or think about the challenges that you think, hey, I entered through the narrow gate, but still in my life, I am seeing the patterns of following or going through the wide way. Yes, it is true that John's Gospel, chapter 14, 6, the very famous verse, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So narrow way, narrow path. And the next one is wide gate and the broad way. Just let us slow down here and think about these two things. Why is it so difficult to go through this narrow way? Why is it so difficult to go through this narrow way? I have a few I have written down. Why is it difficult, narrow way? It is uncomfortable. Narrow way, it's uncomfortable. Whereas broad way, it's an easy way out. Narrow way, it takes time. You have to be standing on the way. It's not comfortable. It takes time. It is not accepted by many, narrow way. It is not famous. It is against the flow. This is the narrow way. But whereas broad way, it's an easy way out. It's an escape system. It doesn't want to take any ownership. That's the broad way. And sometimes it's a lazy way, broad way. There is no accountability in the broad way. It's a mediocre way. That's the broad way. But entering through the gate, that narrow gate, it is so difficult. It's so difficult because when you look at this world, the comparison of various ideas, various thought processes, when you take in all these things, you need to come down to the exclusive way, that is narrow way. As Jesus mentioned, I am the way, the truth and life. So the first part is to really get into those attitudes, those beautiful attitudes, is to enter through that narrow gate. We read that verse. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the door through whom we can enter into these privileges, to this blessedness. So if you are still out of this narrow gate this evening, it's a great opportunity God is giving to you to consider. Am I in this? Have I entered into this narrow gate? Am I in this narrow way? So kids, many times it's very difficult to get up in the morning to do the homework. So that's a narrow way for them. Even for us, getting up, reading the Bible. So we still want to be in that broad way. We don't want to take those initiatives. And we see the very first thing is entering into that narrow gate. Let this be a day where you can decide whether I am in this narrow, have entered into this narrow gate or not. So this is the starting point for this Sermon on the Mount. That's how we can realize that without entering into the narrow gate, and if you are trying to follow those beatitudes, that's not the way we approach the scriptures. The first thing is entering into the narrow gate. And the second one is, we are talking about beatitudes and the behaviors. Look at the verse 15 to 23. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor fixed from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does not, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did you not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I will never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the second broad division that I was giving to you is behaviors. First is the beatitudes, the opening of that is entering into the gate, the narrow gate. And the second, after entering into the narrow gate, the second is, if you see here, beware of the false prophets. See, our behavior depends on the teaching, on the teaching of the Word of God. Here, Jesus was mentioning, after you enter into the narrow gate, into the narrow way, beware of those false prophets. Who are these prophets? What is the meaning of prophet? A prophet is the one who speaks on behalf of God. And clearly, if you go down in verse 21, he speaks the will of God. What is that God wants from our lives? How can we live our life? Really, after accepting the Lord, if you have that, a whole counsel of God, the whole counsel of God, if we have that clarity, our behavior will be different. Our behaviors depends on the teaching. Our behavior depends on these prophets who brings out what is that God wants from our lives. We see here, beware of these false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and they will destroy us. And we can see by their fruits. A good tree bears good fruit. A good tree cannot produce a bad fruit. So look at their teaching. That's the tree that they have. If they don't follow or if they don't teach the will of God, what is that God's heart? It produces a bad fruit. So look at the current situation of Christianity. It's very difficult to find whether that person is a false prophet or a correct prophet, good prophet. It's so much mingled, it's very difficult to really find out if he is really a young believer. He can easily go offline with those bad teaching. There is so much teaching available nowadays in YouTube and so much in the internet. People can easily sidetrack. How much we have to be careful about these false prophets. Having a good teaching that reveals the will of God, that is the key for us to have a right behaviors. So that's the reason in verse 21, Lord, Lord, whoever calls to me, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Think about what is that will of Father. God's will in our lives. The teaching, a beautiful teaching that should come out of the scripture. A whole counsel of God that builds us. But here we see, because of the false prophets, even after entering into that narrow gate, our ways are becoming broad because of these false prophets. So how much we have to be careful in our growth as church, as individuals and as families, to really understand the will of our Father from the scripture. So the third one is, we are talking about practices. Okay. So verse 24 to 27. How can we have these practices, praying and not being anxiety? As Christians, how is it possible? And we see here, verse 24 onwards. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The key aspect here, everyone who hears these words of mine and what he does, acts upon them. That's a very key aspect for our Christian lives. Acting upon what we know from the Word of God. There is so much hearing, but acting upon. That's called step of faith. Taking a step of faith, that's the lack. And we see here the practice. Turning to Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, I'll read this verse, Philippians chapter 4. The things, verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. How about practice in Christian's life? How about practice? Practice makes man perfect. Does it contradict to faith? Does it contradict to faith, practice? And having a clear understanding of the scripture, our works do not contradict our faith. This is a very simple fact that we need to understand as believers. We need to catch up with this thought. Because so many times we waste our energies. The clarity between faith and the works, not having that. And we see here, very clearly Jesus is mentioning, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, there is an act of obedience. Step of faith. How is it possible? And he is comparing that with a wise man who is building the house on the rock. Think about hurricanes. How the water is coming and lives are being destroyed. And we see here, this is a wonderful illustration here. A person who acts upon what he hears is like that wise man. A person who is hearing but not acting upon is not like that wise man. He's like a foolish man. So think about our Christian lives, whatever we know from the Word of God. Are we acting upon it? Not too many things. Let's not take, if you are confused, if you are overburdened, do not take too many things. But whatever you know, whatever is the revelation that God has given to you, whatever is the teaching, those things if you follow, God will give more. If you are faithful in little things, God will give you more. If you are not faithful in little things, how can we expect growth in our lives, in our Christian lives, family and church life? Think about how many times we talk about prayer. How many times we talk about evangelism. But where is that focus? Jesus mentioning, whoever hears these words and acts upon it. acts on them. See this illustration. Who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So it's not about activities. It's about acting upon these things, what Jesus has mentioned. We have seen Sermon on the Mount as those beatitudes, behaviors, and those practices. Those practices. How far we are in these practices. And whereas about the foolish man, it is mentioned, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. So it's a very strong version coming to us as a church, acting upon what we know, being faithful in whatever the little light that we have. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man. Are we like that foolish man? Are we like that foolish church? Not acting upon. The rain fell, floods came, winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It's no more there. It's done. You cannot see that. So when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. So if we really consider Jesus as our Lord this evening, think about this. Where are we in this aspect of acting upon? We heard about the cure for anxiety. We heard about the fasting. We heard about the wealth. We heard about the prayer, giving to the poor. We heard about relationships. So what is it we lack to act upon this? God has given us all the facilities, all the tools. He has put us in this wonderful church. What is it lacking for us to act upon? Taking a step of faith. So shall we look to the Lord, considering these three facts, entering into the narrow gate, not only the narrow gate, but being onto the track, being on that narrow path, not just entering into the narrow gate, but really checking ourselves. I was thinking about this word throughout the last week. See, we have only one life. We have only one life. What is that we have done for the Lord? That only remains. No one will remember us after maybe 100 years. But whatever we have done for the Lord, that will remain forever. So it's a big challenge for us as we are closing down this Sermon on the Mount. Let's come back into our hearts, in our hearts. Lord, what is that we can take home from this? What is that you are teaching to us? Give us that strength. We cannot do by our strength, but by the Holy Spirit, because we are your children. You have kept the Holy Spirit in our lives. Revive us, O God. Shall we pray? Help us to act upon what we know. We are weak and feeble. We need your strength. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day in our lives to look into your word once again. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for drawing us closer to you from the broad ways, from the ways that we do not have any meaning. We don't find any purpose. But thank you, Lord, for bringing us into this narrow way. Dear Lord, this is the way of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this salvation, for opening of our eyes. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Where can we go? You're our shepherd. Thank you, Lord, you have become our shepherd. So, Lord, as we are living this Christian life, Lord, we need your grace and we need your strength to act upon what we hear from your word. Dear Lord, help us, O God. Help us. Give us strength, not by our strength and might, but by the Spirit. Lord, we need your help. We cry unto you, Lord. Lord, as families, we come to you. We need your grace and guidance, how to guide, how to lead our families, our children. Lord, help us how to draw closer to you, Lord. Give us your grace to be like that wise person, not to be foolish, O Lord. Please help us, Lord. Please revive us. Lord, prepare us for those situations of challenges in our lives. When the various teachings comes to us, how we can address them. Please guide us and lead us, O God. Help us not to fall into the hands of false prophets. O dear Father, we look unto you. Help us bless this week and as we depart from this place. We pray that thou might keep these words deeply rooted into our hearts. Help us to take that step of faith, that obedience in our lives. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' precious name, we ask and pray all these things. Amen.